Now he who establishes us with you in Christ, or due to Christ, has anointed us, and that is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. That's 2 Corinthians 1:21. He's sealed in 1 verse and 22 as well. 2 Corinthians 1:21 through 22. He's sealed us and given us a Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Just do the math. And that is that if he has given a group of human beings his Spirit as a guarantee, number one, they would know that, because when you have a guarantee, you're aware of it. And number two, no one else would be aware of it. So you can't expect people to understand this. The consciousness, being connected to God, you're aware of it. That's clear. Here's how. When we recognize, we are not totally thinking our own thoughts. That isn't how I've thought. That isn't how I've acted. That isn't the way I am. This is more than my mind can do. You start to become aware of that. And of course, that requires giving up, taking credit for our remarkably wise and insightful thoughts and words. Because everyone knows, if I have an idea, it's right. Not so sure about your ideas, mine are right. We have to give that up. Now, what would make a human being give up that? They start to have help to give it up. Their mind starts to realize, we didn't make us, we ourselves. We don't sustain our lives. We are not intelligent enough to manage life. We can't even extend our life. And the reality is, it starts to sink in, as it has with those who God has touched and got them to think through, that they are inferior to him. Them's fighting words. You can't tell me that I'm inferior to something. We are. We know there is another consciousness. We know it. And it's at work in us, guiding and overseeing our thoughts and our actions. We're not robots, but we're willing, excited participants in a way of life-giving and life-sharing that's not of this world. This separate but connected consciousness does something we don't do on our own. It prioritizes God over us. It prioritizes God's purpose for us. It prioritizes his way of life over our way of life, his words, his works, and it enables his very good life sharing, which is replenished moment to moment due to Christ with God the Father. And all of this is completely foreign information, except to God's chosen people. We speak of a separated, what's the word separated mean? Separated to a purpose? What's that word? Holy. It's a separated to a purpose, holy mind that's in us, and we sense it. We agree with it. It's not of our knowledge. It's not of our wisdom. It's not of our experience, nor of our approach. We can't take credit for it, but it is holy consciousness. There's your thought. It's a holy consciousness. It's not yours. It's not mine. And by the way, we can lose it. We can reject it. We can give it up. We can say, this is craziness. I'm not going to do this anymore. And there are comments by God, how he reacts to that, what he does. To know you have another and superior mind working in you, we have to first admit to that reality, that there is another and a superior mind, and acknowledge God's superiority over all life. He's not only over you and me, he's over everything that's over you and over me. He's over that that's over us. And that is actually a very good thing. So our the first thing we need, and by the way, there is a couple things in this that are actually surprising about how this works, but the first thing we need to get straight is that the holy consciousness of God bears witness of a brand new mind in us. Let's turn to Romans 8. Romans 8. It actually, we don't have to imagine it. We don't have to come up with an idea. We don't have to scrunch our fists together and wrinkle up our face and say, oh, I do believe, I do believe. Kind of like Dorothy clicking her heels together saying, I believe, I believe. That's not how this works. When we start asking God for his spirit, when we start asking God for a different manner of thinking, we start to see by his ability, his enabling dynamism, as the word means, we're not in charge. We don't create. We don't invent. We don't do anything but manipulate what's already here. We don't make anything, we don't create anything, we don't invent anything from zero, from nothing, but it is here. Romans 8, verse 16. Romans 8, we're going to go here to the right chapter, we'll be in business. Romans 8, verse 16. God, this holy consciousness of God bears witness that it's in us. Romans 8, 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. So there's another mind. There's two minds here that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And there is, let's go back to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, there is this spirit witness. It's like going into a courtroom and having the Spirit of God sit in the witness box and prove to you that the Spirit of God is working with you, that the Spirit of God isn't a person, but it's like a witness, right? Hebrews 10. There's a spirit witness, and there is a witness of the Spirit. Hebrews 10, verse 15. Hebrews 10, 15. I'm going to make sure I've got the right thing. Yep. But the Holy Spirit, Hebrews 10, 15, but the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. For after it had said before, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds I will write them. And he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. By the way, that comes from Jeremiah 31 in verse 33. We don't have to turn there. It's where it comes from. The Holy Spirit witnesses with us, with our spirit, that we're the children of God. Both those things are unbelievable to someone who isn't enabled to understand it. Let's go back to Acts 5. Acts 5. I have a feeling, just a little bit of a sense that when this video is put on YouTube, it won't get a lot of views. As soon as people hear what we're saying, that I don't want to, nah, not doing this. All right, Acts 5. There's a spirit witness and a witness of the Spirit. Acts 5, verse 32. Acts 5, 32. And we are his witnesses. Acts 5, 32. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit that God has given to those who obey him. And what he means by obey him is let him tell us how to live. He knows how. It's not about obeying because he's just tougher than we are. He knows what life is. He made it. We are witnesses to these things, and also the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him. There's a spirit witness, and there's a witness of the Spirit. And this new mind, let's go back to Philippians 1. Philippians 1, this new mind enters a converting human. It comes into them, as they want it and respond to it. Philippians 1. It's a holy consciousness. It's not human. And if we're interacting with it correctly, we would be not necessarily repugnant to others. And I think you may have met some people who think that they should be forcing religion down your throat, when in fact that isn't what God does, and doesn't even tell us to do that. This new mind enters the converting human. It's the mind of God. And Philippians 1 and verse 27, Philippians 1, 27, only, he says in Philippians 1, 27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In other words, the trust, the hope of what the gospel says, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. Now we're in Philippians already, so let's just go down to Philippians 2 and verse 1. Philippians 2, verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, that's agape, being of one accord, of one mind, letting nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. That's not human. Humans don't do that. Let each of you look not only on his own interest, but also on the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. So he didn't need to do this, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He did not quit. He did not give up. He did not submit to this world that thinks it knows more than God. It started in Eden, and it's been going ever since. Why? Because somebody told those people, you will be like God. You will know good and evil. And if we don't think the world acts like that, look again. And by the way, let's go back to, when we're speaking on this subject, let's go back to John 14 for a moment. John 14, because you know we are to be disciples, ambassadors, imitators of Jesus Christ. And that seems a lofty goal, and now we're going to look at how impossible the goal is. Christ's approach in John 14, Christ's approach to his human life was that we are to imitate through the Holy Spirit. But look at how he did it. John 14, 10. John 14, the 10th verse. Do you not believe, in verse 10, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak, this is God on earth, the words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the works. This is whom we are to imitate. And Paul understood that. Go back to Philippians 3, please. Philippians 3. Paul understood it. Not only did he understand it, he lived this principle of imitating Christ's approach. It was what he was. Remember, Paul had been a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he had killed or stood by and watched the murder of Christians. And now he was different because the Holy Spirit was calling him, showing him, enabling him to understand. Paul, you're not like God. You don't think like him. You don't act like him. He is superior to you, and Paul got it. Paul understood and lived this. Philippians 3, verse 13. Philippians 3, verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. So if we look at this world and we're stuck looking at how bad it is or criticizing it or wanting it to be fixed, just look forward to what's ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God and Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. In other words, humans don't normally know this. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, coming from heaven. Paul knew this. This world didn't have him anymore. This world couldn't own him anymore. He was called before Caesar. And it didn't scare him, because perfect love casts out fear. There's nothing to be afraid of. Let's go back to Luke 10. Please, Luke 10. Now, where does this come from? Where does this energy, this power, this wisdom, this willingness to love come from? God empowers the ability to have this new mind. It's a separate entity. It's a separate mind in us. And this mind works good. Not for just the person it's in, not for just the person they touch, but for all creation. Luke 10, verse 21. On the wrong page here. Luke 10, 21. Luke 10, 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, in 21, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. We have to know. We know what others don't, because God gave it. It doesn't make us special, it makes us servants. Verse 23. Then he turned to his disciples at verse 23 and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. Now this is amazing. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired, prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. This is reality, and the rest of the world doesn't know that. So that's our first thought. That's our first point. And that is very clearly that God, this holy consciousness of God, bears witness of a new mind in us. What's the Old Testament about then? Let's talk about that. That's our second thought. And that this holy consciousness isn't just about law keeping. Although the law of God, the royal law of love, orders society. Without it, we'd have chaos and anarchy. And when you see the law of God being trounced, you have chaos and anarchy and suffering and even death. Let's turn back to 1 Chronicles 28. 1 Chronicles 28. There is order on the earth, and it's been put here because of the design of it and the designer and the maintainer of it. And without the Holy Spirit, that order is still here because it's ordered by God's law, and humans can actually participate in that order. It's guided by God's law. God oversees humanity through his law. That isn't how they think differently about him. It's how they order the society. 1 Chronicles 28 in verse 9. Verse 28, in verse 9, chapter 28, verse 9 of 1 Chronicles. As for you, my son Solomon, know the Lord your father, the Lord, the God of your father, excuse me, know him and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, you will be found. He will find you by you. And if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. In other words, there is a relationship with the Father and Jesus Christ, who is writing this, that allows us order, allows us contact with the Father through Jesus Christ. Let's go over to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, well, look at, if we have contact with the Father, then what do we need the Holy Spirit for? Let's keep going. Isaiah 26. The Father reacts to human beings as they react to him. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Let's go there first. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Speaking about the Father and Jesus Christ. Isaiah 26, 3, you will keep him, humanity, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord is everlasting strength. So just trusting God to guide your life instead of trusting yourself to guide your life allows this enabling of everlasting strength. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? Jeremiah 12. Let's go to Jeremiah, the 12th chapter. Why does there need to be a holy consciousness? Well, if you haven't noticed, so far we haven't talked about another mind. When we're looking in the Old Testament, we don't see another mind in most cases in these people. What we see is a relationship between people and God, but not another mind from God in them. All right, let's keep going. Jeremiah 12, verse 1. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you, yet let me talk with you about your judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? You have planted them, yes, and they have taken root. They grow, yes, they bear fruit. And you are near in their mouth, but far from their mind. Why are we talking like this? Why do we need to see this? It's very clear. God orders society through his law. You can contact him by keeping his law, by honoring him as being superior. But there's no actual aid from him in you. Turn back now to the New Testament, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Now, obviously, in the Old Testament, there were those who had the Holy Spirit. David is one of them. And he talked differently about God. Talk differently about dealing with God. But you see, most of the Old Testament, without the Spirit of God in these people, they were dealing with the law. And that's why it was so difficult for Jesus Christ and for Paul, especially in Peter 2, to get people to understand there's more to this than obeying God's law. There's more to this. The law stands, but now there's the Spirit of it. Okay, Ephesians 4. This willing mind, this holy consciousness, it's a willing mind that God will deal with by implanting his mind to live together with him. Living together with him is different from following him. It's different from obeying him. It's different from ordering life. Living with him means he is consistently owning and guiding and teaching you to become like him. Like him. Ephesians 4. Let's go down to verse 20 here. Verse 20. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. But you, he's speaking to the church here, you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So there's another person, there's another mind, there's another being joining your money. Let's go back to, again, we were in 1 Peter 4, so let's go back to 1 Peter 4 again. 1 Peter 4, please. First Peter 4, and just right at the beginning of it then. 1 Peter 4, verse 1. 1 Peter 4, 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing well, doing the will of the Gentiles. What that means, that's an idiom, that means living like the world lives. When we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Go down to verse 6. 1 Peter 4, verse 6. For this reason the gospel was preached also to those who are dead. That means those who have chosen to not follow God. God calls them dead. That they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. In other words, those who are dead, the gospel's been preached to those who are good as dead, but they can either be judged based on physical, or they can be judged based on learning from God. That's why God does that. So our second thought, after the fact that we learned that the Holy Consciousness bears witness with us, that there is such a thing in us, is that the Holy Consciousness is not just about law keeping. We're aware of it, and it's not just about law keeping. And now, our third thought. The Holy Consciousness, which, by the way, we can't earn, we can't demand, we can't do stuff to get God to give it. We can yield to it when he gives it. We can give ourselves to God if he calls us and then chooses us. But this third thought is very obvious. And then again, nonsense to the world. The Holy Consciousness is the transformative spirit. And when I take a look at social engineering, whether it's psychology, I mean, whether it's the concept of development of the mind and teaching, whether it's governments, whether it's religion, when I take a look at that, I see the fascinating idea that human beings must be changed. Human beings must learn to work together. This is an admirable concept. And sometimes we actually can. Sometimes. But the Holy Consciousness is the transformative spirit. It comes from God to change our lives. And that's what the word repent means. It means to think differently. So let's turn back. You'll know what we're going to look at, but let's do it anyway. Romans 12. Romans 12. There's a part in Romans 12 here that we should look at. Romans 12, it's transformative. And, you know, this consciousness that we're aware of, that we could follow, can follow, should follow, moment to moment, as Christ does and did, that gift of the Holy Spirit that Christ said, I will have the Father send it to you, as I leave, he will send it to you. It's transformative. So I don't have to do anything. All I have to do is just lay back on the couch and I'll become like God. Okay? No. Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12, 2. It's a conscious connection with another mind. Romans 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, God allows us the Holy Spirit, and we allow God to give us the Holy Spirit. Do we allow God to do something? Yeah. Be you transformed. You're choosing to do that. God said, choose. I put before you this day life and death. Choose life. So it's about choices. What do you think a human is? A robot or a remarkably royal being that can choose life or death? We can choose. Choose to be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We can ultimately prove it. So now you're living it. You can example it. And if someone asks you about what the hope is that lies in you, you can tell them. Because you know what? They may laugh. They may get angry. They may listen. But you did what God wants you to do. And we're in Romans anyway. Let's go back to Romans 7. Romans 7. Not only is this a transformative spirit, but God is transforming his potential children into his children. And they're shocked by it. I thought religion had to do with buildings and theology and knowledge and being nice. And then we find out it has to do with being owned by the one who made us for a purpose and showing us how to get to that purpose. And everything else but that is wasted and useless and vain. But we'll tell ourselves we know what we're doing. Romans 7, verse 14. Romans 7, verse 14. God is transforming his potential children into his children. Romans 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual. So see, it's not just physical stuff. But I am carnal, sold under sin. This is Paul speaking. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. I don't practice that. What I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not do, I agree with the law. The law is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Meaning there is a mind that is corrupted. It's been corrupted to the point where it's just living there. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. This is, don't forget, this is the Apostle Paul 25 years after the resurrection. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. So you don't, human beings don't know. For the good that I will do, I do not do, but the evil I would not do, that I practice. Now if I do what I would not do, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So this other mind that he wants to get rid of is still there. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into the captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. There's a war going on in people who have God's Holy Spirit, the holy consciousness. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. This is a human being who isn't crazy. This isn't somebody who's divided. This isn't a schizophrenic. This is somebody who understands. There's a mind of God in him, and he is allowed to see himself and follow the other mind. But he's constantly aware of the sins that happen, and he doesn't want them to. What happens to the new life being enabled? What happens to that life? What's it look like? Well, we're in Romans. Let's go over to Romans 8 here. Romans 8 and verse 5. Romans 8, verse 5. And this has to do with our responsibility, what we think of, what we do. Romans 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We ought to stop a minute and just realize. If you have the Spirit of God, you can see the difference. But to be fair, to be loving, to be realizing what's actually happening, If you don't have the Spirit of God working in you, the second mind that you're aware of, you don't know you're living according to the flesh. You don't know you doing what the world does. So what are we going to do? Crush everybody for living according to the flesh? They don't have the Spirit of God in them. And we're their servants. For to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity, the enemy of God. For it isn't subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. But so then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of God or Christ, he is not his. So, well, what happened to all these other people? There's 7 billion people on the earth. What happens to them? Another resurrection. That's what. Verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead. The body doesn't mean anything anymore. It's dead because of sin. It's dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And righteousness isn't from us either. Okay, what does it say? The Spirit brings righteousness. So we can't claim righteousness either. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, dwells in you, which is what God wants to do, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit that dwells in you. So not only is it transformative, it will transform you into the member of the God family that is incorruptible and made holy of spirit. That's how transformative is this mind that's in you, that you must not let go. Continue with it. So we've seen that this holy consciousness that you're actually aware of bears witness of this new mind in us. It tells us that. The holy consciousness isn't just about law keeping. It's about going far beyond that, living as God does, becoming like him. And the holy consciousness is the transformative spirit. Now, we're already in Romans 8. So let's just end here. It seems like this is impossible. It seems like this is nonsense. It seems like this can't be done. We certainly can't do what God's telling us here. We can't. So how committed is God to your new life success? He's the one who made you, sustained you, and called you to this process. He's the one who gives you this holy consciousness. And then he says, do all this, including canceling yourself, maybe even dying in the process. For all, and I will replenish your life until we're done. How committed is he to your new life success? Sounds like he's being pretty hard on us. Romans 8, verse 35. Romans 8, 35. Who, in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love, the outgoing, perfect concern of the Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's the way the world sees us. We're worthless. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And he loved us while we were yet sinners. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. There's nothing going to get this away from you and him, because he's in you. This is your Father and your brother, Jesus Christ, in you, another mind given to you to bring you consistently, regularly, over the rest of your life, however long that may be, into the family to be like him. God will not leave you. He won't. He says, I won't. He won't leave you to languish in the world. He won't leave you to be punished without understanding he's guiding it, and he gives you his holy mind through Christ. He allows so very few to know this, have it revealed to them in this age, and to know and serve with his holy consciousness.